We are continuing on in our series about evangelism, faith training, sharing our faith with other people. This is a very important topic for us as a church. And I think to start off with real honesty, we could say that in Canada, we are not doing a great job of this. We are not gaining a lot of ground in this. And I hate to start on such a negative note, but here's what we are told in Scripture. Oh, you guys need to put the little thing over top of the... Oh, you're getting to it. Okay. Are we good? The little receiver thing needs to be out over the ledge, though. Sorry about this, everyone. Don't change the channel. You like this part. You might be the only one who likes this part. That's all right. Well, now, Steve, now's when we should be doing the Acts prayer. This is good. Good space here now. You can continue on with your Acts prayer. There we go. Okay, so got it. You're all good back there. Thank you. It says this: be wise in the way you act towards outsiders. Make the most of every opportunity. Be wise. And the thing is, when I look at how followers of Jesus often come across to the rest of the world, I question how much we follow the directions we are given here with being wise in the way we act towards outsiders. And let me start by talking to you about a story of where I blew it. Back in Slave Lake, I got to know this young lady who grew up in the church. She even got saved and baptized in the church. But as time went on, she became familiar with some atheist material, and she decided that God does not exist, and she rejected everything to do with God. In fact, she felt angry and betrayed by the church that they would tell her such untruths. So she was a friend of mine on Facebook as well, and she started posting things on Facebook that were blatantly in error or skewed, to say the least. And so I would comment on them, just little things, not to be rude, but just to hopefully make her think. And this went back and forth and back and forth. And little did I know during that time that as this back and forth thing was taking place, our relationship was deteriorating. And she was getting more and more frustrated with this Christian who, in her mind, was out to make her look foolish in public. And so the relationship deteriorated, unbeknownst to me, until she did what? She unfriended me. Now, we were still quite cordial in public and everything. We could talk to one another, but on Facebook, cut off. Dunzo. So when I'm talking about barriers to evangelism and messing up, I'm coming to you not as higher and mightier than you. I'm coming to you as a fellow screw-up. Okay? You're all okay with that? All right. So now, you might be here and you know you haven't really bought into this whole Jesus thing quite yet. And you're just checking things out. I want you to know that you are very welcome here. I'm glad you're here. And as I go through the barriers to evangelism, you might go, oh, I've seen people do that. Oh, yeah, I've seen people do that. In fact, some of these barriers to evangelism might be one of the reasons it's been difficult for you to even come to a place like this. And so I just want you to know, you might recognize some of this. If you are here as a follower of Jesus, I just want you to know, I already know, in getting to know most of you, you care about lost people. I know you do. This is important to you. This matters to you. And I'm hoping that in this message, you are going to get some very practical and helpful ways to share your faith with other people. I'm asking you to, as I'm speaking, inquire to God, what would you have me do? What are you saying to me, God, in all of this? I think the greatest indictment on the mistakes of religious people in sharing their faith was made by Jesus. Jesus had a lot to say about this. And Jesus, of course, is the grand master of faith training. No one did it better than Jesus. And so here's the weird thing that I often ponder. Jesus walked this earth for just a few years, and prostitutes, thieves, traitors, the rejected, all kind of were attracted to him. And I wonder, why is it that that same group of rejected people are not often attracted to his followers? What's the difference? And I think in the end, I looked at some of the things Jesus said to the religious, and I think we do some of those very same things that actually push people away. And this is what I want us to see this morning. That faith training, if we're going to do it like Jesus, faith training requires sight. I'm going to talk a bit about that more as we go on here. But as we talk, there's four barriers that I want to share with you. And I want you to ask yourself, do I do that? Have I done this? I'll be right up front and telling you, I've done all of these. So if you haven't done all of these, I applaud you, I congratulate you, and you're a little delusional. But anyway, we'll move along. First barrier is this. Some Christians don't see value in all people. Sometimes we can't see past people's behavior. And Jesus said this to the religious people of his day. What sorrow also awaits you, experts in religious law, for you crush people. You crush people with unbearable religious demands, and you never lift a finger to ease the burden. I caught my attention, that part, that unbearable religious demands. And in Jesus' day, the religious people often demanded people do things that weren't even in Scripture. They wanted to go beyond it. And sometimes we, as today's religious people, sometimes all we see is people's sexual sins, the language they use, their New Age practices. I've had people come up to me, followers of Jesus, and they say, well, you know, at my work, I told people, you can't use that language around me. And I thought, okay, well, reverse that for a second now. Just hold on a second. What if an unreligious person came to you and said, you know, I'm not comfortable with the fact that you don't swear a lot. I think you need to swear more. I'm not really comfortable with the way you behave, so you need to swear more so I feel more comfortable. How does that make any sense? Of course not. What gives us the right to go to someone at our workplace and say, you need to behave the way I'm comfortable? What gives us that right? And we lay these demands on people saying, you need to do this, you need to do that. Do you know how often we are told that we are to judge people outside the church? Thank you. What was that? Thank you. Zero. This is what it says. It isn't my responsibility to judge those outsiders. One of the most ignored scriptures. It isn't my responsibility to judge outsiders, but it certainly is your responsibility to judge those inside the church who are sinning. God will judge those outside. In other words, if they're not part of our faith, they get a free pass. Whew. I can tell I'm going to get lots of amens this morning. How would you feel if people kept picking on you about all the things you did wrong? Does that make you want to inquire more? Want to be just like them? Probably not. Jesus had this way of seeing value in people past their behavior, past the outward stuff. He saw past the prostitution. He saw past the thievery. He saw past the idol worship. He saw past all of that to the value of the person. We may not always love the outside, but we can certainly love the soul within. Thank you. Good. Faith training requires sight. We need to see the value of all people. Second, here we go, another barrier. Barrier number two. Some Christians don't see their limitations. Now, I have to be right up front with you. I'm pretty biased. I know that as followers of Jesus, you are granted a view of the universe that is unique. And I think closest to reality. And so sometimes as followers of Jesus, we take this unique perspective and think that it makes us experts in everything. Have you ever noticed that? It makes us arrogant. This is what Jesus said about the religious people. He said, the religious love to sit at the head table at banquets and in the seats of honor in the synagogues. They love to receive respectful greetings as they walk in the marketplaces and to be called teacher. There was an intellectual arrogance amongst the religious people of Jesus' day. And I wonder if sometimes, as followers of Jesus, we cannot come across as intellectually kind of arrogant as well. You know, this is what we are told to do. Be humble, thinking of others as better than yourselves. I came across some of this intellectual arrogance as I was reading a book about atheism written by a Christian. And in the first few pages, this is what it said. Atheists also write books filled with information, claiming that information does not require an intelligent source. After reading some of the information in their books, you might be tempted to agree with them. Now, that's a great zinger, isn't it? It's funny. Ha ha. What if you were an atheist reading this book, looking for some hope, wondering if Christians had anything of value to say about your beliefs, and you read that? Does that make you want to keep reading? It wouldn't make me keep wanting to read. In fact, I was rather turned off by that myself. I don't think people are attracted to arrogance. Do you? Are you attracted to arrogance? No. There's this meme that got passed around on Facebook a lot. You might have seen this before. It says, atheism, the belief that there was once absolutely nothing, and nothing happened to nothing, until the nothing magically exploded for no reason, created everything and everywhere. Then a bunch of the exploded everything magically rearranged itself for no reason whatsoever into self-replicating bits, which then turned into dinosaurs. Makes perfect sense. Now, once again, if you're passing this around on Facebook as a follower of Jesus, and you've got people who don't buy into Jesus looking at your Facebook feed, what are they thinking about you? What are they thinking about Christians? What are they thinking about God? Again, I don't think arrogance attracts people. It's the message in that meme is atheists are foolish and illogical. You know, faith training through shame. Not a good strategy, I'd say. Amen? Okay. Here's so, you know, bumper stickers and that sort of thing that Christians will pass around. I'm a fool for Christ. Whose fool are you? How about this one? Make your reservation for eternity now, smoking or non-smoking. Do those bumper stickers say I care about you? I love you? You have value? I'm going to listen to you? Or do they just say, I know everything. You know nothing. Sometimes I wonder if followers of Jesus sound like Yosemite Sam. You remember Yosemite Sam and his famous scene where he walks into the saloon? Remember that? And this is really going back for some of you. And if you don't know this, it's because you're too young. It's okay, you can Google it later. He walks into a saloon, and this is what he says. Any of you lily-livered, bull-legged varmints care to slap leather with me? In case any of you get any ideas, you'd better know who you're dealing with. I'm the hootinest, tootinest, shootinest, bob-tailed wildcat in the West. I'm the fastest gun north, south, east, and west of the Pecos. I'm the, and this is where Bugs Bunny comes in and says, ah, shut up. And I wonder if that's what a lot of people outside the church think of Christians. You think you know it all, ah, just shut up. For some Christians, I think, you know, the movie of their life would not be called Up, it would just be called Hot Air. We are not the experts on all matters. What we do know, the important things that we do know, were given to us. We have to see our limitations. And that's why faith training requires sight. Barrier number three. Some Christians don't see the big picture. Sometimes we lose the fact of keeping the main thing the main thing. The most important battle that we wage is the battle for people's souls. But sometimes I wonder if we come across that way. Sometimes Christians can come across as wanting to control politics, stopping abortion and LGBTQ rights, bombing foreign countries, distrusting the media, ignoring science, keeping out immigrants. And we come across as power-hungry, ignorant, and sometimes violent. Now, I'm not saying these aren't important issues, but is that all we care about? Is that the most important thing? This is what Jesus said to the religious people of his day. What sorrow awaits you, teachers of religious law, and you Pharisees? Those were the experts in religion in his day. Hypocrites, he says. For you shut the door of the kingdom of heaven in people's faces. You won't go in yourself, and you won't let others enter either. Now, I don't know what Jesus meant exactly by you shut the door of the kingdom of heaven in people's faces. But I wonder if Christians do the same thing when we make Christianity a package deal. We make entry impossible and more difficult than it should be. And we say, well, you can come to the cross, but along with the cross comes right-wing voting, anti-abortion, pro-military, anti-gay. I sound like some kind of, you know, salesman here. Media despising, science-fleeing, Hollywood-hating, all of that and more if you would just come to the cross. By making it a package deal and saying, well, if you come to the cross, you have to believe all these other things too. I wonder, do we shut the door of the kingdom of heaven in people's faces? And forget sometimes what the main thing is. As soon as we get into, well, there's just black and white standards, and we get into side issues, we can lose track of the main thing. I've discovered over time, as I get older, my church family doesn't need to agree with me about everything. And that's okay. You might even vote NDP. I know, shock and horror. Is it true there's no conservative party in BC? Wow. So as a right-wing, if you're going to vote right-wing, then what is it? Liberal, okay, good to know. And I'm not tipping my hand at how I vote here, by the way, either. I don't care who you vote for, quite frankly. But our mission as a church is not to convince people who to vote for. We need to see the big picture. The number one issue for us as a church regarding people who do not know Jesus is simply, do you know Jesus? That is the most important issue to face and tackle. The rest is peripheral. And you know what? I trust the Holy Spirit. If someone comes to Jesus, the Holy Spirit will do whatever work the Holy Spirit needs to do. We need to see the big picture. Sometimes we lose track of the big picture. Faith training requires sight. Finally, number four. Barrier number four is this. Some Christians don't see their own sin. I probably don't need to explain this one, but since I already prepared it, I'm going to explain it anyway. See, when I was growing up, I watched shows like Marvel Superheroes or Dukes of Hazzard or the A-Team, and you know, back in the simple days in the 80s, the bad guys were all bad, and the good guys were all good, and there was no in-between. It was very simple. Today, characters are much more nuanced, much more gray, much more conflicted, which actually, if you think about it, is much more like the Bible, where you got David, who's an adulterer, and Moses, a murderer, and Peter, a betrayer, and Jacob, a liar. These are the heroes of the faith, and they messed up mightily. It's not all good and all bad. Things can get passed around on Facebook like this. Why test on animals when we have prisons full of pedophiles? I saw that, and my first reaction was, yeah, this was passed along by a Christian, by the way. And the message is this: those are bad people. So we can do whatever we want to those people, because they're those people. But I'm a good person. You wouldn't want to test on me, because I'm a good person. Bad and good. Recognize these faces? These faces have been on the news a lot. These are men accused of sexual assault, sexual harassment. And before I continue, I want to say that I applaud the men and women who've come forward, and the bravery it takes to say, you know, me too. And these men, if you know, the accusations are correct, they did terrible things, terrible. But when I look at this list of men, I'll be honest with you. From the bottom of my heart, I see myself. I see me. The only difference between those guys and me is Jesus. That's it. Knowing who I am, knowing my weaknesses, if I had the same background, the same opportunity as those guys, you'd be reading about me this morning. And I don't want to think any differently than that. Because as soon as I think those are bad guys and I'm a good guy, I have missed the entire gospel of Jesus Christ. This is what Jesus said. What sorrow awaits you, teachers of the religious law, and you Pharisees, hypocrites? For you cross land and sea to make one convert, and then you turn that person into twice the child of hell you yourselves are. And again, he doesn't really explain what he means by that. With the most religious people, he said, they're going and making converts, and they turn people into twice the child of hell that they themselves are. And I wonder if by doing that, he's saying, you're teaching people to categorize and to feel superior. See, there was not just an intellectual arrogance with the religious people of Jesus' day. There was a moral arrogance as well, a self-righteousness. And as soon as followers of Jesus become blind to their own sin, we lose the gospel. Who deserves more to be here in our midst? I mean, we can sometimes, you know, that categorization of good people and bad people, and we could have even taken that as far as who can be part of our church services. You have to clean up in order to be here. Wow. wow, really? I'm not sure I should be here. Who deserves more to be here than the lesbian, than the abortion doctor, than the transgender teenager, the heroin addict, the wife beater, the pedophile? And if the little hairs in the back of your neck just went up a little, as they did with mine, it's just proving what Jesus said. We categorize. You're bad people. I'm good people. I deserve to be here. You do not. We need to be able to see our own sin. It keeps us humble. And that's why if we are going to be faith trainers, we need to have sight. The Bible says, for everyone has sinned. Everyone. We all fall short of God's glorious standard. Steve talked about that earlier. Sometimes we forget that everyone has sinned. We all fall short. Faith training requires sight. So the four barriers, just to recap, are four barriers to evangelism. Is some Christians don't see value in all people. Some Christians don't see their own limitations. Some Christians don't see the big picture. And some Christians don't see their own sin. So what should we do then? What is it that we should do? Well, there's this great verse in the New Testament that tells us what we can do. And it says this. If someone asks about your Christian hope, always be ready to explain it. There's a qualifier. Do this in a gentle and respectful way. In other words, faith trains softly. This means we don't need to raise our voice. We don't need to furrow our brow. We don't need to get defensive or angry. We can be patient with objections and doubts. By the way, doubts. You may have doubts. You are very welcome here. I'm glad you're here. Bring your doubts. I sometimes have doubts too. We don't need to bring them a laundry list of all the things that they need to be changed or need to change in them right away. And just like Jesus, we can stand ahead of them, inviting them forward rather than behind them with a big stick saying you need to keep moving, right? Faith train softly and faith train humbly. Faith training humbly allows people to say, No, this is as far as I want to go. We don't need to unload the 12-gauge religious shotgun. We don't need to make them look foolish or back them into a corner. We can focus on their heart and not their behavior. Only one choice is really needed, and that's the choice to trust Jesus as Savior. Now, if you haven't made a decision for Jesus yet, you're here and you're just checking this out, let me be the first person, perhaps, in your life to apologize, because you might have seen some of those barriers. You have seen followers of Jesus in their most arrogant, in their most pushy, in their most know-it-all and self-righteous. Please, please don't let that affect your response to Jesus. For those of us who have messed up, this morning we can ask God for forgiveness, but it's not too late to train softly and humbly. I know many of you are praying hard. You care deeply about people in your life, people in your family, your friends, your neighbors, all that. And you're looking for opportunities, and you care. That inspires me. My hope is that you will be wise in the way you act towards these people. I want to see every follower of Jesus at NAC be able to see people's value and see their own limitations and see the big picture and see their own sin. I want every follower of Jesus at Nanaimo Alliance Church to faith train softly, to faith train humbly. Faith training requires sight. Be encouraged. Many of you, I don't doubt many of you have moved past these barriers. You've grown up in Christ and you've moved past some of these barriers. I'm grateful to see what the Holy Spirit has done amongst you. Others of us, though, need to soften our approach and humble our approach. What is the Holy Spirit saying to you right now? if you're a follower of Jesus, listening to the words of Christ, listening to what he had to say to the religious people of his day, what is the Holy Spirit saying to you? What would the Holy Spirit have you do? My parting thought for you this morning is this. Don't be discouraged. You and I may not be able to change the perception of all people out there, but you can certainly change the perception of the people around you through what God can do through you. That's good news. Isn't that good news? And God's grace is so big and so mighty, he can use people like me and people like you to change the eternities of the people around us. Isn't that amazing? Wow, that's inspiring. I hope you feel encouraged and inspired this morning. Let's close in prayer. Father, I want to thank you for your grace that you pour out on us to take us past our weaknesses, past our fears, past all the ways that we tend to not represent you well. I pray this morning that for us as a church, we would take what you said, Jesus, to the religious folk of your day, and we would apply it to our lives to avoid those barriers, that we would be humble, that we would be gentle, that we would be gracious and kind to the people around us, that we would think carefully before we say something, before we post something, that we would represent you well to our world, to our friends, to our coworkers, to our neighbors, to the people that we care about and the people that you care about. Lord, use us in a mighty way. We ask it in the name of Jesus, our Savior, our Lord, the one who rescued us. Amen. Amen. God bless you, everyone. Have a great week. I'll see you again next Sunday, Lord willing.